Landmark.
Well, we'd like to welcome you to the Landmark Baptist Church Wednesday night Bible study. We're on a topic of hell. I don't want nobody to go to hell. And the logic of today that we're living in, they want to dismiss the reality of hell. You hear a lot about disinformation, especially in politics. What disinformation is kind of like the devil disputing where God told Adam the day you eat of that tree of the garden. It's in the midst of the garden. God said you shall surely die. And disinformation is kind of like where the devil said there in John chapter 3, you shall not surely die. And that disinformation goes on still today. It goes on still today. And that's why we're talking about this subject matter of hell. Just because you deny the existence of hell, it doesn't change the fact of the reality of hell. And you know, we've got so smart today. We've got smartphones, smart TVs. Don't be naive when it comes to the subject matter of hell. A lot of choices. This side of eternity, but on the other side there's only two. You're either going to heaven or hell. So we'll have a quick word of prayer. Sister Rita's going to sing my favorite song, sound like. But Father, we love you tonight. We're so thankful, Lord, that you went away to bear a place called heaven. Lord, you not only made a place called heaven, you made it possible, Lord, that all that wanted to go to heaven could go there free, all expense paid. And Lord, I feel sorry for those that are going to miss heaven. And I feel sorry for those, Lord, that are going to spend eternity in a place called hell. Lord, help us, God, tonight. Bless our efforts, Lord, tonight. Lord, we certainly, we're not trying to be intolerant. We're not trying to use hate speech. We're just trying to warn people of a place that's real and full of people right now that wish they could have just one more chance, and there's no chance given. All hope's gone. When you end up in hell, it's over. There's no second chance. There's no parole. There's no way of getting out. And Lord, we pray you help us, God, tonight. Bless Sister Rita. Lord, when she sings, Lord, tonight. Father, we pray, Lord, for all of our members, Lord. Sister Joanne, we talked to her on the way over here. Lord, just struggles every day. Lord, with pain, struggles, Lord, with her breath. Pray you bless her, Lord. Pray you help her, Lord. Lord, we called Sister Vonnie, and she had failed. And pray you help her to, Lord, recover and get well. Lord, we pray it won't last long. And she told us Brother Mark's going to have to go back to the hospital this Friday. Going to try to work on those nerves in his back. Kind of ease his pain up a little bit. We pray for Brother Mark, Sister Kay. Lord, we pray for Judy and Geraldine. Pray you visit with them. Bless them, Lord, tonight. Pray for James and Maddie, James and Patty Madison. Lord, we pray for their daughter. Marilyn, help her, Lord, to get her health back, Lord. She had surgery, and pray she'll recover. We pray, Lord, for Larry's wife, Carol, also struggles with her health. Pray for Tammy Tibbs. Lord, bless Tammy, struggling, Lord, with her health. Lord, we know, Lord, that these frail bodies, Lord, that Lord, you told us, Lord, to remember, Lord, that, Lord, we're just a moment, Lord. We're just like the grass that withers, like the flower that fadeth, Lord. Just here for a little while. Lord, help us, I pray. Lord, while what little life, Lord, we do live, help us, Lord, I pray, to be able, Lord, to have, Lord, days that we could praise God, days that we could enjoy. We know, Lord, Job said, wearisome nights are upon us. We know that, Lord. Lord, there's also days that we can lift up holy hands. There's days, Lord, we can praise God. And I pray for your children, Lord. I pray you bless them. I pray you'd help them, Lord, to be thankful. Help them, Lord, to be humble, Lord. Help them, Lord, I pray, to be heaven-minded. And bless your children. Bless our efforts, Lord, here tonight. Help our country, Father. I've never seen a country, Lord, so mixed up. Trying to Trying to live apart from God would be the best description I could give for America. Thank you for its churches, O Lord. The churches, Lord, they're not banding, they're not bowing. They're still standing strong. We're so thankful for every church in America that hadn't compromised, that hadn't gone woke, that hadn't lost, Lord, the Word of God. Lord, they hadn't fell out by the way, but they're staying on that straight and narrow path. The path of the just as a shining light shineth more and more under the perfect day. Oh Lord, order our steps, help us to walk in them. Lord, your word's a lamp unto our feet and a light in our path. David said, I hide it in my heart that I might not sin against you. Help our country, Father. Your word says nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Lord, they found a little 12-year-old girl in a river, Lord, been strangled to death, been raped, been abused by two men. Lord, that saddens my heart to know that's going on in America. It saddens me, Lord, to know Lord, the horrors and the abuse that's going on even right now. Help us, Lord, I pray. And Lord, recover us, Lord, from these, Lord, this demonic activity, Lord. Help us, Lord, I pray. Bless tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Bless you, Sister Rita. I got carried away a little bit up there. I couldn't help. Bless the Lord.
We also want to remind you about our VBS.
Yes. Amen.
It's about 2 weeks away, just a little over 2 weeks away. We're going to start on the 16th of July, go on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of that week, and then Saturday will be a fun night, and then Sunday we'll have a little ceremony.
Amen.
So we want you to be praying for our Vacation Bible School, that we'll have a great turnout. We've got a lot of things planned for the kids. We had a little bit more time to prepare for this one than we did last year. So I think this one's going to be just a little bit more, a little better. And we hope that they get better every year.
Amen.
So continue to pray for it. Pray for our Vacation Bible School. Also pray, as I was coming over here, they was giving thunderstorm warning,
yeah.
So in the Russellville area right now. So we want to pray for everyone and be safe tonight. So.
Amen. Amen, sister.
This is one of my favorite songs, and I think it's one of Brother Eddie's favorite songs too.
Absolutely.
Crown of thorns placed on his head.
Yes.
He knew that he would soon be dead. He said, did you forget me, Father, did you?
Bless the Lord.
They nailed him to the wooden cross. Soon all the world would feel his loss.
Yes.
Of Christ the King before us.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Sherita.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's all.
He hung his head and prepared to die. Then lift his face up to the sky.
Yes.
Said, I am coming home.
Woo.
Now, Father, to you.
Amen.
A wreath with pale, his final sip was gently lifted to his lips. He drank his last and gave his soul to glory.
Yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
yeah,
hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
The soldier who used his sword to pierce the body of our Lord,
yes,
said, truly this was Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
He looked with fear upon his sword, then turned to face his Christ and Lord, fell to his knees, crying, hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Amen, brother.
From his head the thorny crown,
yes,
and wrapped him in a linen gown and laid him down to rest inside the tomb.
Bless you, Rick.
The holes in his hands, his feet inside. Now in our hearts we knew he died,
yeah,
to save us from,
yes,
himself. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Bless you, Rita.
3 days went by, again they came.
Yeah.
To move the stone, to bless the slain, with oil and spice anointing, hallelujah. But as they went to move the stone, they saw that they were not alone,
yeah,
but Jesus Christ had risen, hallelujah.
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 Pure praise. Hallelujah. Thank you.
An old farmer went to see the Grand Canyon. When he got there, he walked over to the edge of the Grand Canyon and beheld the grandeur of that monumental place, and he turned around, and all he could say was, something big happened here. And I'll tell you what, at Golgotha, the place of the skull, where our Lord was crucified, something big happened there. I like that where she was singing that song, said that soldier pierced his side and said, truly, this was the Son of God. The aftermath of Calvary was it admitting that he had died for the sins of the world. God gave his only begotten Son, sacrificed him for our sakes. You want to miss hell, you'll have to receive Jesus. I'll just tell you right now, if you got Jesus, you're good to go. If you don't have Jesus, I wouldn't pillow my head tonight. I'd be afraid to close my eyes tonight. Take a chance waking up in a devil's hell. All right, let's look to the Word of God tonight. Thank you, Rita, for saying that. Boy, it may not have done nobody else no good, but it done me some good. Hallelujah. I like that song. Oh, my. Let's see here. One thing you want to do is you want to be sure that you're saved and going to heaven. And a lot of people, they say you can't know. I know. And let me say this, you can know. And God wants you to know. These glasses are dirty. That's a pillow. I'm looking for a napkin. We're running short. I'll be right back. See one? I was sweating today and I didn't clean my glasses. Blind is a bad anyway. But you can know that you're saved. I was working in the factory one day and I was washing my hands. One of the foremen came into the restroom. He said, "What do you know?" And I said, "I know I'm saved." He said, "You can't know you're saved." I said, "I know I'm saved. I don't know that you are, but I know that I am." And I got some backup on that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. God said, "These things I've written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life." And you need to know it. I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad I know I'm saved. Amen. The old song says, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." You can know that you're saved, and you better be saved. Death is coming. David said, "There's but a step between me and death." That's true with everybody. I'll just tell you, sometimes we're here, dang gone tomorrow. Sometimes we're here, dang gone today. Just don't know. Last night, I was driving home last night. Our road, just an old country road, about like the one out here by the church out here, just single lane road. And I was following a car, and we was meeting one, and their lights were so bright, I couldn't see nothing. So I got the truck over to the very edge of the road, and even though they're at the edge of the road, I don't know if it hit my mirror or what, but anyway, my driver's side mirror exploded. Glass come in the truck. I have to admit, it did thrill me pretty good. But I was good to go. I mean, it's like somebody shot you with a gun. It was loud. But that's what kind of way it'll come. It'd be just like that. Proverbs 29, verse 1 says, "He that been often reproved," that's God saying, you better get saved. You know you need to get saved. "He that been often reproved shall suddenly be destroyed, that without remedy." You know, Pompeii, I mentioned it a while back. Pompeii, they say a volcano destroyed Pompeii. And a lot of people left. Like 2,000 people left. But Pompeii was kind of like America. It's just filth. The paintings on the wall was all pornographic. The people that literally just vaporized. Just kind of like a time capsule. They were killed so fast that what they was doing even spake about the judgment of God. Pompeii's all about the judgment of God. It's kind of like that verse I just quoted, Proverbs 29, verse 1. "He that been often reproved," and you need to listen to this, "shall suddenly be destroyed." That's what happened to Pompeii. That without remedy, that means, you know, you need to let God be God. You need to realize one day death is coming to the saved and to the lost. We're talking tonight, I mentioned last Wednesday, about not living out all your days. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. But no matter if you live to be, I think Abraham lived to be 175 years old. Nobody, if you lived to be 175 years old and you didn't get saved, you've been better off to die at birth. Here's why. You'd go to heaven. Well, there's no law. You know, they just put these back in the schoolrooms. And thank God. I mean, they're having a fit because they put them back in the schoolrooms. they got in the schoolrooms right now. They got books in our schoolrooms so bad you can't read them in public. They've got laws passed only allowed to be read in the schools. It's so nasty. They've actually prosecuted people for reading them publicly. This is what needs to be in the schools. Paul said, I've not known sin but by the law. They put these back in the schools now. Now at least children have got a chance. They've got a hope. But the reason I'm pointing to them is without the law, you can't be guilty. But once you've seen the law, and once you've known the law, Paul said, I've not known sin but by the law. By the law is the knowledge of sin. I mean, when it says, thou shalt not kill, that means don't kill nobody. They need to put them in our schools that are killing one another. Thou shalt not steal. Well, when you start stealing, you're the smash and grab bunch we've raised up, that generation. When you start stealing, you're breaking that law. You're a thief. Not only that, thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh my, we've become an adulterous generation in America. That honor your father and your mother. We just had Father's Day. We just had Mother's Day. That's not optional. You got children now killing their parents. You got children now blaming their parents. Man, I got in this world by my mom and dad. And that's the only way you're going to get in the world by mom and dad. But I love my mother and father. Even today I love them. Even today I honor them. I honored them when I was growing up. You children out there, you need to listen to old Brother Eddie. I'm going to tell you, I didn't always honor my mom and dad. Man, I'm trying to obey the Lord right here. I have to admit, this is a little different than I had planned. But about 10 years old, I didn't like being told what to do. Nobody likes being told what to do. But I thought, I'll run away. We got runaways today. And I'd like to say this to you. I didn't run away. And I'd like to convey that to you. Don't run away. You need to stay home. It's not safe out there. Little 12-year-old girl was just walking down the road near a park. Two men abducted her and killed her. They strangled her. Left her body in a creek. It's not safe out there. 12 years old. She's out of here. 12. She's out. Well, let me get back to my subject. If you did die in the womb, you go straight to heaven. Because you have no knowledge of sin. But if you live to be 175 years old, and you knew you need to get saved, and you knew you was a sinner, and you didn't do nothing with this Jesus, Pilate said, what shall I do with this Jesus, which is called Christ? Well, one day, you're going to stand before God, and you're going to be guilty. And you're going to have your day in the court of God, and God's going to say, depart me, I never knew you. Your name's not in the book, you sinned in on the blood, you're going to be guilty. And because of sin, not God. God's a loving God. God's why you're alive today. He's gave you like Jezebel, as wicked as she was. God said in Revelation chapter 2, verse 21, I gave her space to repent. He also went on to say, and she repented not. If you're out there tonight and you're lost, and you haven't said, God, I'm sorry, that's what repent means. It means, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to ask for forgiveness. I want to be saved. If you get saved, you ain't got to worry about hell. If you don't get saved, I'm going to tell you something, buddy. You'll have hell to pay one day, and you'll pay it all too. In a place where they gnaw their tongues with pain, in a place where they cry for one drop of water, in a place where you're never going to ever escape, you'll never escape the damnation of hell. And there you'll suffer. And there you'll be tormented in those flames. And there you'll say, just give me one more chance. Just one more chance. There's no second chance. You got one here. You got one right now. I mean, today's the day of salvation. Yesterday's gone. And tomorrow may not be on your calendar. But I'm glad they did put those Ten Commandments back in the schools. I knew those. I never did ever kill nobody. Don't want to kill nobody. But if them hadn't have been in there, I might have possibly killed somebody one day. I did get caught shoplifting. Why'd you do it, Brother Eddie? Well, the guys I was hanging around with showed me how to do it. You see, good, corrupt communication corrupts good manners. You hang around with a dog, you'll get fleas. I'm just telling you, who you hang around with will have an impact on you, have an impression on you. I was hanging around with guys that were stealing stuff. Next thing I know, I was stealing stuff. And thank God I got caught. And the guy knew my father, and he said, I'm going to tell your dad. I'm glad he did tell him. I didn't like it when I got the consequences of what I'd done, but that was the only time I ever stole anything. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, all of them things. Our children need them. I'm glad they put them back in there. But by that right there is how I knew I was a sinner. See, when I got saved, I got grace. I got the love of God. I got the forgiveness. I got the pardon. I got eternal life. And we're talking about not living full lives. That pertains to Christians as well as to sinners. We're going to try to touch on that a little bit tonight. I'm watching the clock back there. But make sure you're saved. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, examine yourselves, prove yourself. Nobody needs to know it more than you. You need to know 100% that you're saved. And you can. Paul told them in the book of Philippians, work out your own salvation. Not work for it. Work it out. Know that you're saved. I'm looking for that verse here. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Ordinarily I'd have it underlined, but I don't. But I do know it's in Philippians. Here it is, Philippians chapter 2. No one I couldn't find it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You need to work it out. You need to know. That's why he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5, examine yourselves. You need to know. Don't leave it to chance. Say, well, I thought I was. He says, examine yourselves. You know, you go to a doctor and you get an examination. Well, you need to do a spiritual examination. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves. How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. I was a reprobate for 34 years. I've been a child of God for 36 years. But make sure you're saved. 2 Peter, let's read a few verses real quick and then we'll get on where we're going here. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 10. It says, wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Make sure you're saved. In not only that, but James chapter 4. We'll read this real quick, then we'll try to stay on topic. James chapter 4, verse 13. James here says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and condemn you there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. I mean, they may have your coffin already made. The funeral home may have your body tomorrow, getting ready for a reception. My granddaughter, she's getting ready to get married July the 1st. She got all the plans. Stuff's been piling up on the porch. She bought stuff. They made plans. Things can happen. She's saved. But still, things can happen. Interrupt those plans, what I'm trying to say. He says, you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, and you ought to do this, if God be willing, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice and such in your boastings. In other words, pride goes before destruction, Holy Spirit before a fall. You think you got it all? You know, Samson said, I'll go out as other times. He didn't. He got him a burr haircut in the devil's barbershop. Amen. But he said, but now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, to do it not, to him it's sin. Sin's what the problem is. Jesus has got the cure for sin. But for some reason or other, we don't think sin's that big a deal. And yet James says in James chapter 1, sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. And we're talking about days being cut short on a life. Hold on there just a second there. In James chapter 1, verse 15, says, when lust have conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. You can shorten your days down here, whether you're a Christian, and we'll probably speak about the Christians first, and then we'll talk about the lost people next. Right off the bat, Romans chapter number 6. It's clear there. It's reading. I want to go there. Romans chapter number 6. Paul here writing the church at Rome. He says, what shall we say then? Verse 1. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You see, God's grace is going to get me to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Might get there a little quicker if I live ungodly down here. Now Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, they sold a parcel of ground. The reason they did is because Barnabas sold his and brought it all and gave it to the church. They went and sold their part of ground and they bought part of the money. And they brought it in with hypocrisy, laid it down at the apostles' feet, and Peter, I have to admit, he had a little bit of some right there. Peter, he kind of picked up on what was going on there. Said a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it. They're in the church now. I want you to get this. Being privy to it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now the reason they've done this, like I said, the last chapter, chapter 4, verse 36, said Barnabas, being interpreted the son of consolation, Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet, and they thought, hey, we'll get the praise of doing that, but we're not going to bring the money, we're just going to bring part of it. Peter said to Ananias, verse 3, why have Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why? In other words, he said, you could have kept all the money. You didn't have to bring any. But why are you pretending that you brought the price of the land when you're only bringing part of it? You're wanting the praise of Barnabas like he got, but you're wanting to do it, you know, with hypocrisy. He says, here, thou hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, verse 5, gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, buried him, had a fast funeral. And it was about the space of 3 hours. Her husband's dead, had been dead 3 hours. Here comes his wife, not knowing what was done. She came in. Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yeah, that's what we sold it for. Said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, verse 9, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carried her out, carried her forth, buried her by her husband, had a double funeral there that day. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon many as heard these things. I want to say a little bit about Ananias and Sapphira. Not only did they make a mistake, but their life got cut short. I can just see them realizing their mistake. I can see them standing before God. God saying something like this right here. Was it worth it? You know, you need to think about things, because God don't miss nothing. You'd be better off not to even sell the land, or if you do sell it, you'd be better off to keep the money than to try with hypocrisy to get the praise of God when you're only just half-heartedly doing what you're doing to get the praise. That's kind of what they did. They had hypocrisy there. And that's about the best example I know is Ananias and Sapphira. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, this applies to all of us. Talks about, you know, with hypocrisy, taking the Lord's Supper. Some churches, I mean, that's all they do. They take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. And we take the Lord's Supper here. We don't do it every Sunday, but we do take it. And you can do it so much it becomes ritual, and you lose sight of the whole meaning of it. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, here Paul is speaking to the church in Corinth, and he's warning them here. He said, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He'd given thanks, He brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also He took the cup, when He'd supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Remember, the bread was in remembrance of Him. The blood of the cup was in remembrance of His blood. All of that, the whole purpose of the communion is to remember His body was broke. His blood was shed. It's a holy thing. When Rita was singing that song about Calvary and hallelujah, about the crown, it was holy. It was a holy moment in time that Jesus gave Himself our sins. And He don't want us to forget it. That's what communion's all about. Verse 26, He says, "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes." So every time you do that, you're reminded that His body was broke, His blood was shed. He said, "But let..." Well, let's go to verse 27. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Remember what Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, did? That's kind of what it's talking about right here. They could have done right. They could have got the blessing. But they tried to somehow keep part of the money and say they sold it for just this much. You know, it's hard to really put the finger on what I'm talking about here tonight. But they shortchanged themselves. God brought judgment on them. Verse 27 here talks about taking that communion. You need to not do it unworthily. You need to realize it's a holy thing. It's precious. You know, when you eat that, and I have, that little wafer of the unleavened bread, I'm sitting there thinking, "Lord, You told me to do this to remember that Your body was broke. I'm doing it so I won't forget His body was broke so I could be forgiven and saved." And when we take that little cup, we do the grape juice. We don't do like the Catholic Church. We don't put wine in there. Wine's a mocker, strong drinks, raging. Who serves to see thereby is not wise. Listen, I've drunk enough wine. We're doing grape juice, fruit of the vine. When I take that grape juice, I'm reminded His blood was shed for me. And I'm reverence that. I'm giving respect and honor to that. But you got people in here, and you know they're not reverencing, they're not giving any regard, no respect. It says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Now look at what the consequences are. Verse 28, "But let a man examine himself." You don't need to do that if you're not saved. Examine yourself. If you're saved, you go ahead and take it. that unleavened bread. You go ahead and drink that grape juice. You're showing honor to Calvary. You're showing honor to the Lord. Let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Don't do it if you're not saved. If there's any reservation, I wouldn't do it. I mean, you go bring yourself into judgment. He says here, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. It's not good. Now, discerning the Lord's body. Now, this can apply to the lost and to the saved. To the saved, verse 30, for this cause many are weak. Sometimes our problems, we've made them. Many are weak and sickly among you. Many sleep. That means they're in the grave. Huh. They're not in the land of the living. For if we would judge ourselves, and we need to. No, Brother Eddie, I'm born again saved. I've already worked my salvation out. I'm not tossed to and fro by everyone the doctrine. Hey, I can stand toe to toe with the devil any day of the week. I know enough Bibles. Know I'm, I've got it nailed down with Bible nails. My house is on the rock. They're getting ready to have Vacation Bible School, and I'm so excited about this. Rita and them have chose the theme as the rock. We've got our house built upon the rock. That rock is Christ. And I want you to know it's the most solid foundation that you can build on. So my house is a spiritual house built upon that rock. That rock is Jesus. But here, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now when you're judged, Abraham said, shall not the judge of all earth do right? He will. Don't make him have to do something he don't want to do. He's going to do right. His mercies are new every morning. His grace is sufficient. Don't cause him to have to judge you. Now, you're going to go to heaven. I don't want to put nobody in a false sense of thinking they're going to miss heaven. You're going to go to heaven. You're just going to get there a whole lot earlier. But when we are judged. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, talks about Jesus. I was going to try to quote it, but I'm just going to read it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. He's given a charge to young Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. That means the living and the dead, and his appearing and his kingdom. So this judgment right here says, if we would judge ourselves, verse 31, we should not be judged. And then verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens, that we should not be condemned with the world. That's the whole purpose of the judgment. So that God can present you without spot, without blemish, blameless in His sight, because He judged you, because you wouldn't give reverence to His Word. He says right here, you can read it, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You need to give earnest here. Says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. It's a holy thing, the Lord's Supper is. When I was over at Bethel, we had this one lady there, and she never would ever take communion. And she could have done it. And I ain't got no problem with her not wanting to take it. There wasn't nothing wrong with her not taking it. But there wasn't no reason why she couldn't have took it. She just didn't feel worthy enough to take it. She's saved, born again, saved. Good Christian woman. Very good Christian woman. But she'd always pass on taking communion. She just didn't feel worthy to eat of that unleavened bread and drink of that grape juice. Bless her memory. Good Christian woman. Alright. You can shorten your days on this earth, and whether you're saved or whether you're not saved. Let me just read a couple real quick here. Romans chapter 6, while we're here. Romans chapter 6, we just read about there. Verse 1, everybody clear as it gets right there. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That's kind of a warning right there. Then you got verses 12 through 16. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, if you're not under the law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? He says, God forbid. Know ye not that to whom yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. He said, but thanks be unto God, ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed him from the heart. That form of doctrine was delivered to you, being made then free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. And he went on down there to say, for the wages of sin, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, in 2 Kings, I want to read this. Let me see why I wrote this down here. 2 Kings here, and I'm probably going to have to really shorten it here, but God got mad at his chosen people here in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 17, I started reading there in verse number 11. God here says, they burnt incense in all the high places and did as a heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wickedness, or wrought wicked things before the Lord to provoke him to anger. For they served idols, where the Lord had said unto them, you shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets, by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways. That's why we got churches today. You know, kind of reason with a little bit, kind of help you stay on track, stay in the way you need to go. Turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments, my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but harden their necks, like unto the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God, and they rejected his statutes and his covenants that he made with their fathers, and his testimony which testified against them. They followed vanity, that's what we're doing today, and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. They left all the commandments of the Lord their God, made molten images, even two calves made a grove, worshipped all the hosts of heaven, served Baal, they caused their sons, their daughters, passed through the fire, used divination, enchantments. You know, we're talking demonic stuff. They sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah. Now, that was God's chosen people. And let's want you to know, God is to be reverenced. And, if you want to live a long life, walk before him in beauty, holiness, live righteous, godly, and sober in this present world. Now, to the lost out there, let's look in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I'll have to be quick here. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Look at verse 17. Be not over much wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? You know, people want to live. If you want to live, well, he's the one that's got your next breath in his hand. He's the one that gives you the days that you live. With him is length of days. I'll tell you right now, you need to have a relationship with Jesus if you want to live. Amen? Look at Psalms 55, verse 23. Now we're talking about lost people. God says here, but thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. It says, bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. See, you can trust in the Lord, or you can do like these right here, They really didn't regard God, didn't really regard the Word of God or the ways of God, and they didn't live half their days. Our days are mentioned in Psalms chapter number 90 as 70, which is 70, and reason of strength, 80, which is 80. Days of our years are 70. It's 70 by reason of strength. In other words, you're healthy. You eat right. You exercise. You take care of yourself. By reason of strength, they'd be 80 years. That's 80 years. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it's soon cut off. We fly away. There's coming a day. Matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7 says that's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. To the lost out there, you're living numbered days. Matter of fact, you can go on down there in Psalm chapter 90 and let's see here. Verse 12, teach us to number our days. You need to remember this. Today's all you got. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may not be here. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom there. Proverbs 29 verse 1, I quoted it a while ago, but it says, he that being often reproved, you know, he turns the preaching off, turns the singing off, change the channel, don't want to hear it, don't want to see it. He that being often reproved, harden his neck, so I mean, I'm not going to look, I'm not going to listen, harden his neck, shall certainly be destroyed, now without remedy. Oh my. In Genesis chapter 6, God has created everything, and they're doing everything except what God wants them to do. And God repents that He even made them. But I'll tell you right now, He had a plan too. Genesis chapter number 6, verse 5, it says, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and He repented the Lord that He made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I've made them. That's a sad commentary. But God said He didn't like what He was seeing down here. You know, God says from heaven, He looks down on the earth, see if any regards. He's looking right now. He's got the lights on here at Landmark. Nobody here but me and Rita, but God looking down there, He said, look at there. There's faithful Rita and faithful Eddie. They're down there. They're in my Word. They're trying to get the Word out there. I'm telling you, God's looking. And here He didn't like what He saw. He's not happy. And I'll tell you what, He went on down there, Genesis chapter 7. Look at verse 16. God told them to go in that ark, and they went in. Notice, they went in male and female. That's important. They went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded them. And the Lord shut him in. And the flood was upon the earth, and the waters increased, and it bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. All flesh died that moved upon the earth, both fowl and of cattle and beasts, of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. How many survived, Brother Eddie? Only those that's in the ark. Those that did what God told them to do. Verse 22, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life. Hey, I don't have gills. You put me in water, I'm going to drown. Of all that was in the dry land died. Every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowls of heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they which were with him in the ark, 8 souls survived. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. I'm going to throw this out there to you. They wonder why they can't find no fossils of human beings. They find the fossils of all the animals, the dinosaurs, snakes, fish. They've got fossil fish on top of Mount Everest. They find all the fossils. They just don't find no man. You know why they didn't find no fossils of man? They got this great big shark. They call it a megalodon. Now, I can't prove this, but I got a feeling that shark was designed for a reason. Its teeth are anywhere from 7 to 12 even 16 inches long, big as my hand. Megalodon. They showed a set of jaws of Megalodon, and a man standing in the middle of it couldn't even reach up and touch the top of it. Like I said, I can't prove this. I got a feeling out there on that flood, those that wouldn't go in the ark, those that wouldn't let God be God, those that mock Noah's, he's building an ark, they hear a little something in the water. About that time, they realize there's no way. I mean, like I said, he that been often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, that without remedy. No way of escape. There's no dry land anywhere. All the mountains are underwater. And this thing's out there. What's it doing, Brother Eddie? It's doing what God created it to do. It's devouring much flesh. They all were eaten. That's my explanation why they don't find no human fossils, no human skeleton. That's what I think. That might not be true. But I'll tell you what could be true. One reason I say it could be true is because this scripture right here. Psalm chapter number 50, I believe is where it's at. Hope I can find it real quick. I'm looking at the clock back there and it's wearing me like a shoe. Psalm chapter number 50. God says here why I think that it could have been like that. God says, verse 19, "Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou settest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silent. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thee." Now listen to this, verse 22. "Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces." Tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. You know them big megalodon sharks? Buddy. I think the bite span something like, I'm just going to guess, I think something like 40 feet. I mean, it's big. Their teeth are enormous. And they're out there. And these people that wouldn't let God be God, these people that wouldn't go in the ark, God left the door of the ark open 7 extra days after Noah got it built. Nobody went in. But when that door shut, they realized he's got to say. I don't think they died by drowning. I think they were all eaten. I think they were all torn to pieces. You know, I didn't get through this tonight, but I'll tell you one thing. It's not going to change a thing. If I was you tonight, I'd make sure I'm saved. We could have talked about a storm. For all we know, a storm of storms. I think it did get some tornado warnings. The storm of storms could be coming tonight. You might be called out tonight to meet your God. I tell you how to get on good terms with God. Just say, "Lord, I know you made heaven for me and you made hell for the devil. But I don't want to go where the devil is. I want to go where you are. I want you to forgive me. I want you to save me from the penalty of sin. I want you to put my sins on your blood, put my name in your book. I want to be ready to meet you if death comes tonight." God bless you for listening in. Like I said, we're just doing our best to try to clear up some subject matters. This information right now will get you and end you up in hell. That's why you got a Bible. God said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, my words shall not pass away." God's always got provision. If you want to go to heaven, seek ye the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. You can find everything you need right here. If you can't understand it, come over at Landmark. We'll take time. We'll show you. We'll explain it to you. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us. Me and Rita, thank you for Rita coming tonight, Lord. What a blessing. I bless, Lord, those listening tonight. Bless your name. Bless this little church. Let it be a blessing to you. Bless our upcoming Vacation Bible School. Make it special. I'm so excited. I'm so thankful, Lord, for this little church. Bless it as only you can. Lord, I pray you'll always have the preeminence. I pray this will be a place you visit and abide and spend time here, Lord, with your children. Lord, may your praises be heard here. Lord, may your songs be sung here. Lord, may your word be taught and preached here, Lord. May you be lifted up here. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. It's coming to rain down out there. Talking about Noah and the flood, I guess.